On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Petra's adventures in Vegas and paying for it when she got back.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, you got back from Vegas in one piece.
I did.
You
did. I did.
Tell us about what happened when you were there first.
Well, we were, on the night of October 1st was the shooting, and we were supposed to fly in on the 3rd. So we had the day of the 2nd when it was in the news and just really sinking in how bad and how horrific this was. We had all that day to think about where were we going to go or where were we not going to go. And I went with a girlfriend, by the way. It wasn't me and Hank. It was me and Tracy.
It's good you need to take girl trips once in a while. I think it's good for you.
Yeah, it is. It is good to just, I don't know, reconnect. For me, that was reconnecting with a buddy that we've been best pals since right out of high school. So,
but you haven't really been in the same town with her for how long now? Ten years?
Almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, reconnecting, nice?
Yeah. Great fun.
She's got kids.
She has two small kids. My age, two small kids.
Did you talk about them all the time?
No.
That's good.
No. I think she really, truly wanted a little bit of a mom break. I mean, that's what this was for her. She called and talked to him every night.
That makes sense.
But, you know, for 20 minutes. It wasn't for hours on end or, you know, it's as they're winding down to go to bed. I thought it was well within my crazy tolerance.
I like going to Vegas with people that have never been just to watch their reaction.
Oh, yeah.
To Las Vegas. Did you get anything like that from her?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she was just about to fall over. Like the Miracle Mile shops with the all of the painted ceilings.
Oh, and where is that in?
Planet Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was thinking that was in
Caesar's Palace. Yeah.
But they all have... Every casino has their version of
it's just,
these high-end
just crazy
malls.
Amazing in there. And it was fun because neither one of us really were there to shop and buy stuff. I mean, it's just everything there is...
People shop?
Crazy. Yeah. Or sticker shock. So we had a good time. We did play slots for probably 20 minutes. More or less to kill a little bit of time. It was fun before show started.
Right.
But we gawked. We walked around and looked and gawked. It was a lot of fun. I did take her to see Zombie Burlesque.
You see boobies?
We saw boobies, and it was from like way in the back, but I still think it was...
You see zombie boobies?
I kind of remember the first time I went somewhere and saw... a topless show.
Yeah.
And it was a little shocking, and I kind of got the feeling may have been her shocking first time. I was like, yes!
She's like, everybody thinks we're lesbians here together.
Oh, like, I care.
Not there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying. I bet she is paranoid about that.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, we've laughed at one point years and years and years ago because she always wanted kids. I never wanted kids. And we were laughing about like just the lack of guys in our lives, like that were remotely acceptable as a mate.
To procreate.
And she wanted kids and it was like, okay, if we turn 40 and there's no one for either one of us.
Yeah.
We're just going to move in together and be the quote non-lesbian couple. And I was going to be the dad and she was going to be the mom and we were going to have kids.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
We both
started dating like our spouses about the same time. So
you guys get along great and all that, but she married somebody that I don't know her that well, but I'm surprised even the little bit I know her. Of her choice of husband.
Well, you...
Nothing's bad. He's
a good guy. Yeah, he really is.
It's not that he's a bad dude, but tell us a little bit about...
Tell us about
Martha's husband.
Well, Tracy. Martha Stewart, yeah. can't call her that. All right. She is, all right. She has like the white lace curtains and is crazy into Stevie Nicks, and everything had to be just so in her house. Like, she had all kinds of whatnots and girly doodads and stuff that I just never got into, but she's
a nurse,
had been eat up with it. She's an RN,
college educated.
She's like a supervisor where she's at. Mm-hmm. I mean, just always been type A, super type A personality.
Right.
And her husband deer hunts all the time and put deer heads with antlers on her walls.
I mean, she has a whole house of deer heads, right?
Yeah. Like, they're everywhere.
It's
now.
Like a little deer head pet
it's
cemetery.
Like, it's like they're competing for space. That's how these houses, these little old people have these houses just full of crap. It's like she had a bunch of crap and he had a bunch of crap and they just wouldn't compromise on it. It's just like crammed in there together. It's so funny.
Well, he seems like a great dude.
He is. But he reminds me a lot of her dad and her brother. So I'm not.
Well, and that's where we're from. There's a lot of good dudes that are hardworking, manual labor type jobs with deer heads in the living room. That's how it goes.
All right, he's an artist and he puts in like super high end kitchens.
Yeah.
So like the cabinetry, he can build cabinetry in place. So he's.
Oh, he's a talented dude.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
He is. So
the deer head thing and. Well, I don't know. And I like, you know, in a way, I wouldn't care to get into hunting a little bit if it wasn't so boring just sitting out there all the time. I mean, I know the way it is now. It's not exactly like Daniel Boone where you have to sit there and for hours and wait.
4 o'clock in the morning and freeze your butt off.
Yeah, I mean, I know now you just walk in the woods and pretty much a deer comes up to you and just whack it on the head with a baseball bat and boom, there's your deer.
Well, you know, just leave your corn feeder out there for
a
month before.
Yeah, attract them for a few months to the same spot. And then,
wear a bunch of dough pee.
Yeah, see, you don't need to do any of that crap anymore. Just walk out there. So it doesn't seem very sporting. That being said, though, I still wouldn't mind doing that. Just to, A, the meat is organic, fresh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like the idea of it still be a primitive.
Providing your own food.
Yes. The same thing as growing a vegetable out of the garden and you eating that vegetable. I mean, there's something to that.
Yeah, there is. There is. I enjoy it, too. I totally get it. I don't know.
I could possibly get into deer hunting someday now that it's not, like you said, maybe it's not so much getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning and sitting out there for 5 hours real still in a tree stand waiting. Now it's probably you sit out there and wait an hour.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I don't know. I have no idea. It's not my thing.
No, you could shoot one if you had to.
If I were starving.
Zombie apocalypse?
Zombie apocalypse would make a hunter out of me, but
all right.
It's just not, I don't know, it doesn't seem sporting at all to me. It's like, it's not a sport if one team doesn't know you're playing. And I'm not against hunters.
Oh, no.
Especially not in this area, because if they didn't go out and thin them down a little bit.
Gosh.
Like they would be eat up with disease and just overflowing. They'd be everywhere, like stray cats and dogs.
You can't drive on a 4-lane highway in eastern Kentucky. You literally can't drive more than 5 or 10 miles without seeing a dead deer on the side of the road.
All times of the year. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. So that's why, I don't know. I mean, you know, when you're a kid and you've seen Bambi, you're like, no. And then you get older and you about ruin your car, you're like, go ahead and thin them out.
No, I hear you. So Zombie Burlesque, you would recommend that?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was one of the best shows I've seen there.
It's just amazing, isn't it, that there's a town that the whole industry of the town is based on.
Adult tourist, entertainment.
Adult land.
Yeah.
The adult everything. Topless shows, gambling, drinking. Just everything.
It is adult Disney. It really is. There were a few people that had kids there, but they were an oddity. Like, people looked at them like, why are you walking your kid past a woman standing here with pasties on the street corner?
I agree. And I love that. I think I told you one time years ago, the very first time I ever went to Vegas, behind MGM was somebody had got the bright idea to make it a kids theme park. I guess one of those things where, well, maybe you'll drop the kids off there and the adults will gamble or something. Uh-huh. Something for kids to do. And they had rides and all this bullshit.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, all the MGM characters. It was a whole theme park. And remember, then I went back like 5 years later, and like they had plowed all that shit up and just added more
adult,
more casino, and more that got overruled real quick. Somebody took over as CEO, and they're like, "What the fuck is this kid's bullshit? This is Vegas for God's sake."
Yeah, that well, yeah. Why would you bring kids to Las Vegas?
Yeah, I like it that there's still some adult things in the world, and I feel like that is a whole town built around that.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, you can have a kid, but have them not on the strip because,
Or if you do, just be prepared. I mean, they're going to see people drinking on the street. Like you said, people with pasties right on the street.
Yeah.
They're going to see prostitutes everywhere. They're going to see people on the sidewalk literally handing out cards for prostitutes.
Oh, yeah.
Naked on the street, like baseball cards on every corner.
Yeah. it's just, you're looking around like, the first time you're there. And you're right. It is so much fun to take somebody on their first time.
So how'd you get these tickets to Zombie Burlesque?
Well, all right. That was a whole story. We got in like crazy early in the morning. Okay. Although we had already been up for a million hours by the time we landed.
Right.
And we got there. As soon as we walk in the door, the people at the little kiosks at the front of the hotels, oh, here's a great deal, blah, blah, blah. So we honestly had like 6 hours before we could check in to our room. And right here, they're telling us they'll give us dinner and a show and then reduce tickets for another, like the ride, the high roller, Ferris wheel.
Right.
And like a couple of vouchers for another meal. So it was a really good package deal.
If you do what?
If you go listen to their timeshare spiel.
The timeshare pressure sale.
Oh my
God. The pressure cooker.
Well, this was fun.
What an experience. What psychological warfare that is.
Oh.
If you ever want to waste, and you said you had time.
Yeah.
So whatever, uh-huh. You'd have been gambling and losing money then. But if you ever want to just waste 3 or 4 hours of your life that you'll never get back.
Oh.
Go to a timeshare movie.
It was hilarious.
Let somebody try to sell you a timeshare, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are just whole buses bussing you out there. And it is a beautiful property.
So they bus you. It's not even on the strip.
It's not directly on the strip.
They take a bus to the place.
It's about a 5-minute drive. It's close.
But it's still
offsite.
It's enough till they're taking you physically somewhere.
You've been kidnapped.
Yes.
Well, actually, they would probably get very upset because they'd be like, "We're not holding you against your will. We're not holding you against." I mean, they are like real legal sticklers. There's contracts. It's crazy.
And first of all, a timeshare is the worst deal ever. People don't.
Oh yeah, I pulled out my calculator and started figuring it all in up, and it was like. I was speechless.
Because you were never going to do it anyway. You were just doing it for the tickets.
I was doing it for the tickets.
For the experience, I guess.
And lucky for me, the package that I picked wasn't just a couple of free tickets. It's like I had to pay to get the discount. And I had already paid and had my receipt from the hotel.
Right.
That's probably why we did eventually not buy the freaking timeshare and still get our tickets and everything that we had been promised.
Well, tell us about each step here. So they bus you out there to this place.
They bus you out there. Then they feed you a little bit. And I mean, it's a pitiful little, like there's apple water, and some stale old sandwiches.
Okay. But they give you something.
They give you something.
That's the second psychological thing. One, they bust you out here, get you away from everything, distraction.
Yeah.
That's one. The second thing, right in a row, they've given you something. Whether it's implied, they're going to give you these tickets.
Yeah.
But they're giving you a free lunch, of whatever, even if it's an apple and whatever.
Yeah.
So now you're psychologically in for that.
Yeah, you're kind of sucked in.
There's psychology there.
And there's somebody, one of their salesperson sits down at your table with you and your buddy.
Okay.
To eat with you, and they're not talking about anything yet. I mean, there's like
they're
no
getting to know you.
They're getting to know you, talking to you
number
about
three.
A kid.
Yep. All right.
So
sales tactic number three.
And it was funny because our poor girl was so awkward. I actually felt kind of sorry for her. Like she was so awkward. We're leading her on in the conversation because it was horrible.
And she'll never make it.
No. Uh-uh.
All right. So then later they, then what? After you eat?
After you eat, eventually they show you around the property and they drag you all over the place. Like there is a script and it is supposed to take a certain amount of time.
Right.
And our girl is really bad at this. So every step of the way is like just this slow, agonizing. And I'm a fast walker anyhow. I want to scream. This was driving me crazy.
Well, and probably there was a bunch of old people. They're not going to be able to go fast.
No, there were. It was mostly younger people. It was mostly younger people. And it was just a group. It was me and Tracy and our salesperson. That
Three
was
people?
It. Three people.
Dang.
Yeah, okay. It's one-on-one. Mm. They get you one-on-one.
That's another one, too, then. The whole, help me out. This money will go to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So she shows you around the property.
Shows you around the property, and it takes forever. Finally, we're pushing her, and we get to sit down and talk real numbers. And
is it with her, or is she bringing somebody else?
With her. She hasn't brought in somebody else yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And this goes on and on and on. And, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, I don't know. I know some people who have a timeshare. I'd have to talk to them first before I'd make a decision on something like this.
Right.
And, you know, she's like, well, I can save you $4,000 today if you just sign here. I mean, and it just like the pressure.
There's
just
number
goes
four.
On and on
yeah.
And on.
If you'll sign today, right now, they want to get you again. Psychology.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just like, I did because I told her very early on when we start talking, I'm like, I do not make snap decisions on anything ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this just, it was.
Well, that's why she's probably dry and slow the whole rest of the time, because she's like, well, then they're never going to buy anything. This is just pointless.
Well, no. She had been dry and slow well before.
Gotcha.
So, and this.
Didn't you figure out some numbers as you have them?
Oh, yeah. I don't have them with me right now. It's right at $40,000 for 1 week, and then like an $800 a maintenance fee each year.
$40,000.
Yeah.
That's what you buy.
Yeah. And you get 1 week.
And they're selling 52 weeks.
They're selling 50 weeks. They said 50. They leave two for maintenance.
Okay. That's $2 million.
For that room.
For that room. And it's a damn room. What is it? Two bedroom and a bath?
Yeah.
Two bedrooms, one bath, room.
Two bedrooms, two bathrooms, two kitchenettes. I'm sorry. It's kind of a mirrored.
Okay.
Set up.
Two bedrooms, two baths, two kitchenettes. Gotcha.
40,
nice view. Five minutes off the strip.
Yeah.
All right. So they're selling these. If they sell that, that's $2 million per room, which we call them units.
Yeah.
In a commercial business.
Yeah.
In our business, we call them units.
Yeah. And,
so
and this was
$2
a huge complex.
Units. How many units you think in the whole place? Ballpark. 200?
At least 200,
You know what was up here.
Yeah, at least 200. Let's just say 200.
Well, then there you go, times 200. Jesus Christ. That's four billion?
Yeah. So no wonder they can afford to have their dry salesperson sit right with you and talk to you and follow you around. And then when you just want out, like, they can't, then they start going, well, that's not my job. I have to get my manager here. And they make you wait. And there were several people that got really pissed off. But I had a receipt. And I'm like, you have to get, you know.
At the end
of
the day,
yes. They
gave
in. You
have to argue with them, absolutely.
Yep. And by that point, I was like, by hell, I'm going to get my tickets.
See, I went through the same thing once. It was a similar situation in Vegas years ago. So I've been through the whole thing. I know the psychology of it. I've read books on marketing now and sales, and I understand each step of the process. I'd like to do it again just to review, just to like as an experiment.
That's kind of what I was walking into it thinking it was going to be. But then I felt so sorry for this girl. She was such a bad salesperson.
But at the end,
I was coaching her.
At the end, I remember the same thing, though. The one thing that I guess they just don't care because they know they're never going to see you again. They don't care. There's a certain amount of people that will just be sheepish and just leave. But they don't want to give you your free shit when you leave.
Yeah. Well, it's not free because you've paid for it with 3 or 4 hours of your life.
Well, that's right. You paid for it in time. I think ours was something like, I don't know, I'm just going to say like $200 gambling chips, casino chips to Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It was casino chips. And it was supposed to be $200 worth. And yeah, at the very end, we had to argue with them too. Absolutely. Yeah. It was because the guy was like, well, we only do that if you actually sign. Same as you. Like, oh, no.
No. I got a seat right here.
Well,
yeah.
There was no receipt, but it was just, well, I don't know what it was, but somehow it was clearly flyer.
I made him let me have my piece of paper. I was an asshole.
It was a flyer that said basically what they were going to do.
Yeah.
And it clearly said, if you'll do this, you'll get your chips. And we pull that out, of course. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and basically it gets to the point where it's going to be, well, we're either going to make a scene here or you're going to give us these chips. And basically then they're like, well, okay, here's your chips. But that's what you have to do. You have to get to that point before they were. So was that with you? So at the end, what did they do with you guys?
No, because I had a piece of paper and I was like, nuh-uh. Well, where's your boss? Because they wanted to be like, well, that's not my job. And I was like, well, okay, where's your boss? I started being, and I think.
What was Tracy thinking about all this?
Oh, my God. They flipped her bitch switch. And there's, like, she's the sweetest friend in the world. But when she starts going off, like, I just step back and let her go. I mean, like, she's like you. She just has that horrible temper.
You get that holler fury going.
Yes, absolutely. And she was going to be a million different kinds of redneck. And I think they saw that because, like this, it kind of goes across her eyes and it's scary. And, like, they gave us our stuff. Now, we did have to wait on the bus, and it was funny because they were real snide about that, and they're like, well, if you'd signed, you'd get a limo ride back. And I was like, and that's a $43,000 limo ride. And I said that, like, back, you know, I was kind of redneck. It was fun.
What a silly, it's just a silly concept.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so silly.
Oh, yeah. It was.
I mean, there's a million other things you could do besides that to invest your money in or to, it's just terrible.
Well,
We bought a condo ourselves for about that same price as Snowshoe.
Yeah.
And we own it, the whole thing. We can sell it if we want, whatever. It's not just a week of it either.
No, it is.
For goodness sake.
Hours and. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, if you get to,
it's just such a bad deal. Like when you start, like I was thinking, well, you know, $20,000, this wouldn't be, you know, because I know somebody who has a timeshare and they're always swapping weeks and, you know, doing goofy stuff and getting great deals. And he's old and he has time to do that. It's awesome. But yeah, and I'm thinking, well, that wouldn't be. And then they drop the price bomb on me, and I'm like, oh my God. That is outrageous.
How many trips would you have to, for $43,000? I mean, if you took a vacation a year that was $4,000 a year, it'd be 10 years worth of vacations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Well, what they try to do, they're like, well, how old are you? You're going to vacation for the next 30 years. Like, they had all this marketing stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Laid out and figured out. And the numbers don't really work because it's marketing numbers.
They don't work because you're just buying a week.
Yeah.
You're not really buying the unit. You're buying
a week. You get the deed for a week.
How comical. How funny that they even make a deed. Gosh.
That's a mess, isn't it?
People are just silly.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to do it, what you should do is just, you should buy a condo somewhere if you really wanted to. Find a place in Vegas off the strip if you wanted to, but buy a damn condo.
Yeah.
or something. I don't know.
It would probably be a lot better than...
And I know, like you said, they always say, oh, well, you can switch your timeshare if you go to Florida. You can just trade with somebody and do blah, 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 blah. It's not worth it. It's the worst investment ever.
Yeah, yeah. And it's certainly not the type of decision to make, like, after you've been starved and held hostage for hours.
Hell no.
So don't.
And especially, no, and that's a great, that's great advice we'll just give to our listeners or anybody that would possibly listen. Before you ever spend anything like that, for God's sakes, take all that paperwork home.
And
think about it.
Think about it. Wait, talk to people.
Wait a week. And then if you still, after looking at it and thinking about it for a week, if you still think it's a good deal, okay, well, then go for it.
Yeah.
But for God's sakes, these high-pressure sale, that is the biggest thing of it.
God, it's awful.
Our guy told us that today even. We're putting a piece of property on the market, and that's the one thing our sales guy, our broker, told us today. The enemy of any sale is time. That's exactly what he said
today.
He's telling us all the stuff to get ready to get together. Not that he wants it, but he knows prospective buyers are going to want it.
Yep.
And he wants us to have it, so as soon as they ask for it, we can get it fast. So the longer it takes for us to get stuff to buyers, the
more time they have to think about it and second guess.
Yep.
I understand that.
It makes a lot of sense.
I understand that.
I do, too. We know that from our business.
Well, I was definitely not going to do that. So we did. We got our tickets. We got back to the room. We got cleaned up a little bit. Went and watched Zombie Burlesque. By the time we went to bed, we had been up for like 26 hours straight.
Good Lord in
heaven. So the next morning, we were on time. Like, we slept 9 hours, got up, and we were fine.
One day to catch up.
Kind of adapted. And it was amazing being in Vegas that week. The police presence was everywhere. Very, very apparent. Tourists having pictures made with them. All of the signs were Vegas strong. It was moving. It really was.
Like I said, I mean, when you were thinking about it, like, you know, when something like that happens, it's the safest place to be.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
I mean, sooner or later, somebody's going to do a double thing like that, but probably not. Because, you know, once it's done, there's so many police, everybody's there. That'd be the last place somebody would try something again.
Yeah. Yeah. I just.
What a crazy situation.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
And your friend's a country music fan. It's conceivable.
We would have been there.
That you guys could have been there.
Yeah.
A week earlier. One week earlier, and you guys went, oh, look, there's a country music festival. Why don't we go to that?
Where we would have been.
What a crazy situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a crazy dude. You know, there's been, it's a little bit old news, so I don't want to talk about it too much, but, you know, you called it from the very start. And I can be a little conspiracy theory here and there, you know, in doses. And there are definitely some wacky bullshit that I don't believe from our government. But you called it right off the bat when they're like, this guy is just a middle-class guy, and he doesn't have anybody he's mad at. And, he's a real estate investor, and he's a multimillionaire, and there's no problems whatsoever. And you've called it, like, bullshit. Like, nobody does that without being pissed off at somebody.
Yeah.
Major.
Yeah.
There's something. You can't. And you're exactly right. When they start saying that, same thing. I'm like, come on, people.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's nothing in this guy's psyche, past, something. There's something.
You don't do that. You don't do that.
No. What a crazy situation. Well, I'm glad you're there for that. And Las Vegas recently has an edible law, right,
for legalized marijuana, right? They have legalized recreational marijuana.
Again, it's adult Disneyland.
It's adult Disneyland.
Why wouldn't you? I'm surprised LSD is not legal.
I'm sure it may eventually be. But all you do is get in a cab and go to a dispensary.
And there's no dispensaries on the Strip yet.
No.
On the New York Strip, on the Las Vegas Strip.
From what I've read, I don't think the hotels, it doesn't incur, like, people don't get high and gamble.
See, I don't know about that. I don't know. I just can't believe.
And you can't smoke in public. Like, so you can't, like, go get a joint and roll it up and walk down the street smoking it. That's okay. Not legal.
But you'd be able to in casinos.
No, it's not welcome in the casinos.
No, but I'm saying if casinos sold it and they encouraged then you could.
Yeah, yeah. I think eventually, and they were telling me in the Reef dispensary that I went to, that they do think eventually there'll be some, like, laws where you can smoke in public. Like, especially, probably. Or like a smoker's club or a coffee shop or something like that. So
these casinos, I don't know. They spend obviously millions of dollars doing research and studies and psychological studies and blah, blah, blah. But my gut instinct is they better get on board with this shit or they're just going to lose out. There'll be some casino in what's the old part of Vegas?
Old Vegas.
Yeah, there's a name for it where the big screen is over your head. Fremont Street.
Yeah.
Some casino at Fremont Street is going to, you know, be the marijuana casino, and that's where the hell everybody's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, sooner or later, these casinos, I just feel like, are going to miss the boat if they don't. All they have to do, all the millions of square feet of space they have in there, just one of them, just one spot where there's a little coffee stand in the corner.
Yeah.
Have that, the medical, or not even medical, just the marijuana dispensary. And I just can't believe people aren't going to.
I don't know. You know what? I guess I'm going to say this. They don't want their money tangled up with that because it's still federally illegal.
I think that is probably the root of it more than anything.
Yeah.
I think you're probably right because technically that's money that technically the government could come in right now and take.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. That's probably the reason.
Yeah. So, and it's an all cash business. And everybody knows it, so there are guards with machine guns, which are usually retired police officers, military officers.
So you go in this place. Tell me about it. Where is it at? Is it off? It's off the strip.
Off the strip by about two blocks.
Okay, so two blocks off the strip. You take the cab to this place.
Yep.
What does it look like?
Just like a big warehouse.
Like a warehouse.
Like a big warehouse with a cab line outside.
Classy, nice, shitty.
Classy.
Okay.
You said you had gone to the Spearmint Rhino at some point.
Yeah, years ago, yeah.
It's right beside of it. So it's like two blocks off the strip. It's not, I mean, you could walk, but I was by myself, so I didn't want to do that.
Right. There might be several Spearmint Rhinos. I don't know. A famous strip club in Vegas, if anybody hasn't been to Vegas.
Well.
But, okay, well, it's there. Okay.
And when you go in, immediately you have to give them your license. Have to prove that you are over 21.
Okay.
And then.
And it's over 21, not 18?
Yeah, over 21.
That's good.
Yeah. I agree.
I agree.
And it wasn't super crowded, but like you go through the line to be allowed into the store.
Okay.
And then you get in a line in the store. And I probably waited for 10 minutes, maybe 15.
What's inside the store look like?
Almost like a super white Apple store.
Like an Apple store.
You know how there are people behind the counters and you kind of line up like almost like you're waiting at the bank or something like that.
Okay.
And they take the next one.
It's all clean and
super clean. So, like white walls with super fluorescent lights. I mean, there's really no shadows. It's super, super clean.
People machine guns in there?
Yep.
Literally machine guns.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Well, it's all cash, and there have been several dispensaries robbed, so that's just a part of it.
Right.
And it was hilarious because I'm standing in line. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm so nervous. And I look over, and there are two, like they look kind of like Mexican gang members to me. Like, we watched that whole Narcos show. I'm just like,
you think Pablo Escobar's right beside you?
I'm like, gulp, you know? And then I look beside of them, and there's a couple of old people in cowboy boots and you know, denim tuxedos. And I'm like, okay, it's all cool here, you know? And in front of them, there was a girl with blue hair. It was just all different.
Just an eclectic group of
people
wanting to get some marijuana and have some fun.
Yep. And I ask them, you know, what do they recommend for, you know, on the strip? And that you can either vape it or do have some gummy bears. And I've always wanted to try edibles.
You like gummy bears?
I was like, I love the gummy bears. So I bought a bag of gummy bears.
Okay. Did the gummy bears taste any different?
Not too much so.
So they basically taste like gummy bears.
You know, they had a little bit of an odd flavor to them. I wouldn't say herbal flavor or anything. I don't know.
Something a little off.
Yeah.
But not bad.
Not bad, but something a little
off. We've read and heard from probably Joe Rogan podcast and different sources that edibles, where it's processed through the liver instead of being transferred through your lungs, mm-hmm. way more potent. We've heard that from a million different people.
So I got the baby gummy bears. I got like the, you could get like different strengths of them. I got like
El Diablo. No El Diablo.
No El Diablo. I was like, all right. And I took one
gummy bear.
One gummy bear.
All right, what effect did, wait a minute, when did you take one gummy bear? When you got back?
Back to the hotel. So, I wasn't about to do that in a cab or something like that.
So you went back to the hotel.
Yeah, I crammed it in my purse. I had this little bitty purse and that.
How many gummy bears did you have?
I think there were 20 or 24 in the bag.
So you had a bag of 24 gummy bears.
Bag of 24 gummy bears.
All right, and you take the first one when you get back to the hotel.
Which is probably about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right, what effect?
It felt nice. Like
nice. It was nice.
I started laughing about like I am now.
Uh-huh.
And I was just, or everything was just, it was hilarious.
Now your girlfriend, Martha doesn't.
She does not. No.
So you didn't discuss it with her or she knew
I had mentioned that, you know, hey, weed's legal in Vegas. I think I want to try some. She didn't say anything back. I happen to know for a fact that she's okay with people who do it. She just doesn't do it herself.
Right.
She's kind of got her mom hat on.
Well, did she know you were going to get these?
I've considered that fair warning that I had.
What do you mean?
When I mentioned that it was legal and I wanted to try it.
I mean, what did you tell her? I'm getting in a cab and going to get gummy bear?
No, I didn't.
I mean,
she was in her conference thing.
So
she wasn't even around.
Okay,
I had
gotcha.
Time to burn. And so that's what I did. And so, then I came back and I.
So she didn't even know you had them, probably.
Well, I put them in the top shelf of the refrigerator, like the ones that weren't in my purse.
Well, hell, she might have still just thought they were just gummy bears.
Well, I warned him that those were the THC gummy bears.
So you did tell her.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm dragging this out of you. So you did tell her that you were.
Well, once they were there, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So then you eat a gummy bear.
Sorry, you know what? Honestly, this is weird for me to even talk about because, like, it's still not legal here, and it's just weird for me to even talk about. Like, I want to be all, like, kid evasive, like,
Oh, good God in heaven.
I know. I feel like I'm being interrogated, Dad.
Well, you are. It's a show. We're trying to get some out of you here.
All right. So, anyhow, I was about like that, probably a little bit contrary. Had some of them in my purse. And I was just one every couple of hours, what I was doing.
Okay.
And everything was hysterically funny. It was a good thing because after her conference, she was in a horrible mood. We had to go down to this big, it was hors d'oeuvres that the company was putting on. It was like loud. They had like a cover band and just tons and tons and tons of people. And I think she was just done with some of the.
This is some kind of hair product, multi-level marketing type deal, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I gotcha.
And appreciate the trip to Vegas, but man, you had Tracy all fired up for a little while, and I was just laughing. And I, you know, it's kind of one of those times where, like, eventually she just looked at me and gave me like that knowing mom look, like, "Yeah, you're stoned." And I'm like, yeah, and I got the munchies. Let's go find some food. And she's like, yep. So we got out of there, and we went and had fantastic dinner inside. We were at the Paris. That was awesome. And then we had all next day to sightsee and run around. And I made it like my mission to finish those damn gummy bears before we left.
So you had 20 gummy bears over how many days?
About 2 days.
20 gummy bears in 2 days.
24 in 2 days.
24 gummy bears in 2 days.
Yeah.
Nice work, Petra. Well, that's great. And so good experience with them. No paranoia, yeah, nothing crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing crazy. I got brave and would take two or three, and they were like fine. It was fine.
Well, I mean, we went over it a million times on this show from a medical scientific perspective. You don't get hangovers. You can't overdose on them. And there's what's the other one? The other big one?
It's not addictive.
And it's not addictive.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
can't overdose on them, not addictive, no hangover. I mean, that's just the damn trifecta of if you're looking to just mellow out in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know what? I thought it was fun to, because we were already intending to take off and go sightseeing and things like that. Like, the Ferris wheel with a couple
phenomenal,
of
phenomenal, right?
Great.
That Ferris wheel is what? Literally 30 stories or more?
It's 500 feet.
Well, then
in the air.
There's 50 stories.
Yeah.
50 stories.
500 feet in the air. It's beautiful.
Damn.
It's beautiful. Yeah, we got to go do that.
But yeah, I mean, there's no other. What place better to be high on gummy bears than Las Vegas?
I'm telling you, we gotta go back. It was so much fun.
The bright lights and the shows and the everything. Yeah. I mean, that's the spot.
Yep.
Shit.
Yep. Oh, it was fun. It was
envious.
Fun.
We were just there a year ago, and it wasn't.
Didn't have it yet. Now it's all in full swing, and it seems to be working really well. And really, no ill effects whatsoever. And
here comes the burnt toast.
Burnt toast.
There goes the burnt toast.
Yep.
We have one apartment complex in our town. Here's another one.
And they're all out. There's all of them.
That's two monster fire trucks that literally go to this place daily. From some old person burning their toast, setting off the smoke alarm.
Mm-hmm.
We call it burnt toast.
Yep.
Burnt toast brigade.
Yep. And from what we understand, the smoke alarms are like directly over the stove.
which in a way I see, because if there's going to be a fire, it's going to be there. I get it. But then on the other hand, it's right over the stove. Of course, hell, I could burn. We could do burn something.
Yeah.
When you got an apartment complex of 100 apartments, yeah, probably some old person's daily, literally, they burn something.
Oh, well, sure.
Enough burn, enough to set off a smoke detector.
Yeah, especially when you've got a large group of people living in a complex together. I can't imagine. I can't imagine because I used to set smoke. I had a smoke alarm. It wasn't directly in the kitchen, but it was in the doorway, like one removed from the kitchen.
Yep.
And I set it off at least once a month. And I don't cook that much.
Almost every
or that well.
There's a lot of our shows. We hear that in the background. It's just part of it. Part of where we live.
Burnt toast.
So.
Vegas fun.
Vegas fun. What's the opposite of Vegas fun?
Food poisoning.
You gotta pay. There's a yin and a yang.
God. I got back.
He has to balance out with everything.
Back from a great week in Vegas, which I just can't smile and laugh enough about that one, to a week of allergy testing on my back with a bunch of patches, which sucks.
Itchy patches.
Itchy sucks. And I'm midway through that, and I tried some. This is such a white person problem. My brother gave me so much grief for this. I tried Oysters Rockefeller.
What? Is that what it was called?
Yeah. It's
Oysters Rockefeller. Oyster Rockefeller.
With cheese and spinach and bacon. And it was delicious going down, but it was really, really bad. Really bad the other way around. Oh, my God. I got food poisoning.
Yeah, that's all it obviously had to be. And like you said, so it just takes one oyster, one bad oyster?
Yes. Just one.
I had the same. I ate half. Well, I didn't eat. You probably ate 60% of them. I ate 40% of them.
Yeah.
Which is the first time I had them, which I'd have to say I thought they were delicious. But
I will never eat those motherfuckers again in my life.
Not when you end up spouting at both ends 3 hours later, right?
It was, well, my stomach was a little queasy. We were sitting on the couch watching a little bit of television.
When did we eat these oysters, Rockefeller?
Probably about 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And then about 11 o'clock, I started feeling...
The gurgle.
And it was like I had swallowed a bunch of Alka-Seltzer tablets because it foamed up. It was coming out whether I was going to let it out or not. I mean, this was just...
It'll be like an alien bursting through your belly if you had to.
It was horrible. And I finally thought, oh, God, I think I've thrown it all up. And my stomach starts gurgling. I have to sit down. It's like, oh, my God, the both ends. And I'm sitting on the toilet with a garbage can between my knees. And then finally it stops for just a few minutes. I'm like, Hank, I think I need to go to the hospital.
So I get out of bed and, all right, let's go. This is at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And I'm carrying my garbage can with me. I'm just like, I don't know where it's going to erupt from next. I'm just going to bring the garbage can.
Let me tell you, there's not a lot going on in our town anyway at any time. But if you ever wanted to do anything in Hazard, Kentucky, do it at 3:30 in the morning. There's nothing. We went through red lights. I'm like, I'm not stopping at these damn red lights.
I slowed down and stopped,
looked, and went on through. I mean, when there's nobody, when there's not a car coming for a mile, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing.
I would just puke on them if they pulled us over.
So we go to the emergency room, and it wasn't as awful as I thought as far as the experience. We always hear these horror stories about emergency rooms, and they're full of drug heads and this and that.
Poor little lady that had COPD, it sounded like she was drowning. Bless her heart. She was having a hard night. And then
at one point, I thought she had died.
Yeah.
Across the hallway, they were trying to, Ethel, are you awake? Ethel, open your eyes, Ethel. Can you wake up for us, Ethel? I'm thinking, I don't know if Ethel can wake up for you, you know? But I assume they had a monitor on her and must have saw a heartbeat. Like, Ethel's either playing dead or she's in a coma, people. Like,
Bless her heart. Oh, poor thing. Poor thing. But they did. They strapped some fluid.
They got you on an IV.
And some pills. Zofran, something or other for diarrhea too. And probably about an hour later, I got to go home and I took the medicine. I went ahead and got the prescriptions filled the next day and took it because even the next day
wasn't quite right.
I wasn't quite right. No, it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, it's no good.
And I'm just now, like today was my first day of solid food. That happened Saturday night. Sunday was all liquid. Monday was all liquid. Today I started eating some solid food.
I had a fraternity brother in college that similar thing happened. And he got some mad at himself that he couldn't control it. That he ended up stripping down naked and got in the shower in the community shower. You know how it's industrial. Yes. And he just stood in there for a half hour, just spouting at both ends. He was so mad at himself. I'm like, well, you know what? That's a pretty good way to do it. He unscrewed the drain, literally, so it would just be a hole. And just stood in there and showered. He took about an hour-long shower till he got it all out of his system.
I understand. I really do.
I can, too. In a way, I thought, well, that's really not the worst solution to this problem ever.
I was so embarrassed. And you're like, you're on the other side of the door. Our loft doesn't have, like, we don't have the most sound private doors in the world.
No, everything's open in here.
And you're like, don't be embarrassed. Don't. And I'm like, stay away. It's like the scene from Bridesmaids where you're just like, stay away. Don't look.
Yeah, it's funny.
That was awful. I was even laughing while they were hooking the IV to me. Because it was so ridiculous. It was like, I can't believe
poor
that.
Poor Petra, driving the porcelain bus to Chucky Town.
Oh, my God. It was awful.
Well, so much for Oysters Rockefeller.
Yeah.
They're going to like them.
Never again.
But, you know, even that, they were okay. I mean, they weren't. It was something I tried once, but I don't know if I'd ever order them again. If somebody had them, I might eat them. You'll never eat them again, of course. You
probably,
got that whole.
It's probably going to be a couple months before I'm going to be able to go down there. I will be honest, because it just there's just no way.
Well, that's our favorite restaurant, so you better get over that.
I know. But right now, like it foamed out. It was awful.
I get it. Just don't order the oysters, for God's sakes.
But I can't, the smells in there, there was also, it had some of the pizza sauce or the red sauce with the oysters.
There was a little bit of that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't, it's going to be a little while. It's going to be a little while.
Yeah, you can handle that.
You can be mad, but you have to find another girlfriend to take with you.
Well, I'm not mad, but, but I would find another girlfriend. If you can't go there, that's the best place. Ever. So, all right. So, where can everybody find us, Miss Petra?
At hillbillynerdtalk.com.
Yes. And obviously, you can find, I'm fairly active on Twitter. I like those goofy hashtags they have once in a while. In fact, daily, one was saying once in a while.
Once in a while.
I don't know. There's a daily. I don't know if somebody's starting these, how they, or if they organically spring up, or if there's some.
Like just the one of the day.
It'll be something like, it'll be something like cat name a movie hashtag. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got people coming up with movies that have cats' names in them and bullshit. I mean, like making up names and it becomes really funny. It's kind of interesting little interaction. I kind of enjoy it. So anyway, I can be on there once in a while. I'm usually at the gym. If you see me active on Twitter, I'm probably in the gym, probably in between sets. That's the easiest way to kill a little time. And I think, and I can think of, like, I'll think of something while I'm working or I'm doing a set, like, oh, yeah.
And then you can, put it on Twitter. That's cool.
Yeah, it works out pretty well. And then you're active on Pinterest.
Yep.
And you're the queen of Pinterest, right?
You know, I'm getting burnt out on Pinterest.
No.
I am.
You're down to 5 hours a day instead of 8.
Stand by for a domestic violence break. I shouldn't joke about that. Sorry.
It's all right. Then what else we got?
A little bit of Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us do that anymore.
You know, I post when we put a show up, and I'll check some messages here and there. But, it's just hard to do Facebook for our show.
It is.
I don't know. Twitter, you can find us. We're a gem. We're a gem out there. If you want to share it with a friend, we'll keep it kind of underground. Let it spread virally that way.
Okay. Oh, and he's making goofy eyebrows at me. He's cute.
Exactly. Petra, you got anything else this week in particular? One thing I was going to say about your pod, I had a random thing about. I think pot is to competitive eating what steroids is to bodybuilding. Think about that. Those three people that would have to help.
I wonder if that is considered
enhancing, sport enhancing.
Yeah, performance enhancing drug.
Performance enhancing drug. I don't think competitive eaters should be allowed to eat pot.
No, I don't.
Even though I really don't think they are tasting much, honestly. But no, still.
No.
Every little bit, though.
That's.
It would help.
That's really kind of gross.
Make you hungry?
No, it doesn't make me hungry right now because I'm still not 100%.
Come on, get you some oysters.
I don't think I can talk about competitive eating.
Come on, get you some oysters down you.
Oh, no. Never.
That is a first world problem.
It is.
Oyster rock.
My brother was like, you and your white people problem.
What? Oh, well, it's worth a try. You paid for it. You paid.
Oh, I did. I did.
Thank God I didn't get the one that had it. I'd have been whoever. I guess it would have been randomly me.
You did that? I don't know if it's that or just I'm just like, I have the worst, like, digestive immune system in the world.
I know. You have such a delicate stomach.
I told you that before. Now do you believe me?
I believe you on that. But again, maybe, what if it's just you just took one and you just had the one?
I don't know. I don't know, but it was bad. I mean, I couldn't fake that for anything.
Heck no. All right, Petra.
All right, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.